It is an unexpected privilege and honor to again be able to visit the parish here. I have occasion to take an unexpected trip of a little R&R. I would like to say RR and R, rest, relaxation, and I like to say rest, relaxation, and reparation, because I feel amiss for not having been with you for the dedication of the church after the remodeling effort. Again, having been here for years as your assistant pastor, and it has been a number of years since first going to St. Cloud and establishing the parish there, that I have not been able to be back over a Sunday to visit with so many parishioners who have bonds in my own life, and of course we learn from one another. And so you all have contributed to my efforts in the ministry, and so again, it is a privilege and an honor to again be able to come back and visit you. I recall when I was going to St. Cloud to establish the parish there, we were looking for a church to purchase. We had found a church. We were making efforts to purchase the church. And Mrs. Vogel asked me, do you have anyone who particularly is, in a very polite way, she said, anyone in particular who is funding this effort, who will really help it to get off the ground and get you on your way? And I said, no. We're just going to nickel and dime this thing to death. And it has been precisely that. Everyone contributing in their own way, according to their own means, with their particular talents, with remodeling efforts, with efforts in assisting me in the work of the ministry. Because, of course, earlier on, when the parish was very humble, small, and simple, just 3 dozen people, when I first went to the parish, I could be a jack of all trades. I could manage to do everything. But it becomes impractical as the parish becomes larger. The parish now is as large as what I see here present, 10 times the size of what it was. And I need to learn to let go just as others need to learn to take hold. And so it is with that in mind that presently I'm underway with taking a little bit of a reprieve in order to help the parish to adjust to a new role as others assist me to extend the apostolate of the ministry. And uniquely, this comes at a time in the liturgical year where we begin a new liturgical year. With the first Sunday of Advent, we begin a new year in the church, in the seasons of the church year. With Advent, we reflect in the Old Testament after the fall, as a Savior was promised. And that Savior was promised by God the Father immediately after the fall. After the fall, there was no hesitancy in God the Father promising to send a Redeemer. And so, in the epistles and Gospels through Advent, we reflect on St. John the Baptist as the precursor of Christ and paving the way for the coming of the Redeemer. And so through Advent, we reflect on the Old Testament. We reflect on the promise, on the coming of the Redeemer, which then comes with Christmas. With Christmas, we have the coming of the Messiah, the birth of Christ as an infant. And then through the liturgical year, we pace ourselves through the life of Christ. As we come through the liturgical year, we then come to the circumcision, which foreshadows the sacrament of baptism. We come to the Epiphany of our Lord, the presentation of the Magi with their gifts before Christ. We come to the Feast of the Holy Family as our Lord is lost in the temple at the age of 12, a mere boy, which is beautifully depicted in a stained glass window in the Church of the Immaculate Conception in St. Cloud. Because the stained glass window in the right by the communion rail on the epistle side depicts our Lord preaching to the doctors in the temple as a boy. The original intention of the church, as it was first founded by the merging of two Lutheran churches coming together in the area, was to go through all of the windows through the church in successive order and depict scenes in the life of Christ in their successive order throughout the life of Christ. And so the first one is the finding of our Lord in the temple. And the last one is the ascension of Christ. Those were the only two that were done. And then the crucifixion, the large crucifixion scene in the stained glass window above the high altar. But what a beautiful thought to follow the life of Christ through the liturgical year. And so we have the Epiphany, the Feast of the Holy Family. We go then into the Sundays after Epiphany. In the Sundays after Epiphany, we begin to reflect on our Lord being tempted in the desert, in our Lord preparing to embark in his public ministry, in our Lord performing his first public miracle, the changing of the water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana. And so all of these themes tie in through the Sundays after Epiphany until we begin to come to that season which precedes Lent. The church is an understanding mother. The church, as a mother raising her children, understands our weakness. The church understands that we cannot adjust to sudden transitions momentarily. We need to adjust. We need to adapt. And so we notice that there is a season before Lent called pre-Lent. And that helps us to adjust from the season of the Sundays after Epiphany into the sorrowful penitential season of Lent. These are Septuagesima Sunday, Sexagesima Sunday, Quinquagesima Sunday, and then we have Quadragesima, the first Sunday in beginning Lent. And so we then have Lent of approximately 40 days, depending on where Easter falls. And through Lent, we reflect on our Lord in his penitential life, again in the desert, and preparing, embarking in his public ministry, finally being betrayed. And so we come to the final 2 weeks of Lent, which are Passiontide. And again, the church is a very understanding mother. As a mother raises her children, a mother knows that her children always strive for what they understand to be good, for what they understand the parents desire of them. But we know that children are fickle. We know that children have their little foibles and that children make their little mistakes. But there is no true mistake so long as a child is able to learn from that mistake. And we know that the church also is a loving mother. The church understands that we make resolutions that we don't always follow through with. And so at the beginning of Lent, clearly we all make resolutions of penance and prayer. But how well do we really fulfill those resolutions throughout the entire season of Lent? And so the church, as a considerate, loving mother, gives us an opportunity with the final 2 weeks of Lent to renew our resolutions with vigor, with a new resolve. And so Passiontide is the holiest season of the church year, and particularly Holy Week is the holiest season of the year because of the liturgy. With Passiontide, we reflect on, again, our Lord being betrayed. We then come into Holy Week. We reflect on Palm Sunday, our Lord entering into Jerusalem in triumph. We reflect on the Last Supper, on the crucifixion. And finally, with Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Christ. The holiest season of the church year, Holy Week. After the resurrection of Christ, we then have our Lord appearing to the apostles in order to complete their instruction. In completing their instruction, Christ bids them to remain until he would send the Holy Ghost by petitioning God the Father. And so we understand that wonderful doctrine of the filioque in the Creed, that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. And so Christ bids the apostles to remain in the upper room until the coming of the Holy Ghost. We have Low Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday. We then have the Sundays after Easter, as the apostles are awaiting the coming of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. Finally, we have Pentecost Sunday. Immediately after Pentecost Sunday, we have Pentecost Monday, Pentecost Tuesday, where the clergy offer Mass pro populo, for the people, throughout the church year. Sundays, particular feasts, feasts of the apostles, various feasts, the priest offers Mass for you, because you, in so many respects, assist the ministry of the priest. And so the priest is indebted to the faithful, as you support the priest, not only monetarily, but spiritually, and in the apostolate of the clergy. There are both corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Let us not overlook the spiritual works of mercy if we are not able to fulfill the corporal works of mercy according as we would wish. We are able to fulfill the corporal works of mercy according to our capacity, but we are always able to fulfill the spiritual works of mercy by prayer and by sharing in the apostolate of the clergy in whatever capacity God allows us according to our respective talents. We then come with Pentecost Sunday to Trinity Sunday. And then we come into the seasons, the time after Pentecost, the Sundays after Pentecost, which conclude the church year all the way up to the 24th and last Sunday after Pentecost. Now this comes into a particular time in the church year, which particularly might be a bit confusing for the faithful to follow in their missals. When you come to the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, you are following the Mass for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. But when you come to the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, you need to determine which Mass you are following according to how many Sundays after Pentecost there are. If there are 25 Sundays after Pentecost, you follow the priest for the 24th and last Sunday after Pentecost on what would be the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. And the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, since it is not the last Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the 6th Sunday after Epiphany, because that Sunday would not have been offered after Epiphany because of the season of Epiphany having been shortened according to where Easter falls. And so when you come to the Sundays after Pentecost, look at your missal carefully. Look at the chart which is there in your missal, which directs you according to how many Sundays after Pentecost there are. On the 25th, you would follow the 6th Sunday after Epiphany. If there are 26 Sundays after Pentecost, then on the 26th and last Sunday, you would follow the Mass for the 24th and last Sunday after Pentecost. And so according to the number of Sundays after Pentecost, you fill in from the Sundays after Epiphany. And so the church year, we see, in a beautiful way, allows us to enter into the life of Christ. The church year allows us to participate in the life of Christ as members of the mystical body of Christ, because it is the mind of the church that we follow the liturgy as closely as we are able, by following the priest as closely as we are able, as he is offering the liturgy. And in that way, we enter into the spirit of the liturgy. We enter into the spirit of the church. We share as members of the mystical body of Christ in the graces of the Mass. And you indeed share in those graces of the liturgy. Because, of course, the priest principally shares in the graces of the Mass. That is why a young man aspires to the priesthood. It is a holy reason. It is a reason that a young man desires to become a priest in order to share principally in the graces of the liturgy. After the priest, and of course the one who offers the stipend for the Mass, receives the graces according to the intention of the stipend for the usufruct, for the stipend of the Mass. The servers share in the grace of the liturgy. And there is a particular order that it goes down. According to the means by which you share in the liturgy, you share in the graces of the liturgy. After the servers, the choir, the ushers, the ladies who provide altars, the flowers for the altar, the ladies who provide the linens for the altar, the ladies who clean the linens. In any respect, in every respect, that you share in providing for the liturgy and the maintenance and the upkeep of the church and giving of your talents, you share in that respect with the graces of the liturgy and the usufruct of the liturgy. And so let us be grateful for that opportunity of entering into the apostolate of the church, in sharing in that opportunity of the life of the church, which indeed is the life of the mystical body of Christ. And so I conclude with a reflection of St. Paul from a couple of Sundays ago. St. Paul prayed, "Brethren, we give thanks to God always for you all, continually making a remembrance of you in our prayers, being mindful before God and our Father of your work of faith and labor and charity, and your enduring hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen."